Today on Wings. Despite a few prominent rape and murder convictions bringing harsh penalties in India, rapes have not declined. Kalpana Pradhan asked women activists what could make a difference.
For me, rape reform, especially legal reform, doesn't deliver gender justice at all.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
India was named as the most dangerous country for women due to the high risk of sexual violence in a survey of global experts by the Thomson Reuters Foundation 2018. Crime against women in the country remains a deeply concerning issue to the women. The brutal rape and murder of a doctor in Kolkata highlights the current inadequacies in enforcing women's safety measures in a government-run hospital. And the incident has raised alarms about sexual violence against women in India. The women rights organizations have organized Take Back the Night marches to call for eliminating gender-based violence. The women are faces wide spectrum of threats to their safety, dignity, and well-being, as said a researcher student, Shampuna Bhadra.
Can we say that all of us should not say to women, don't get raped? We can say, do not rape, to place the emphasis on men's actions instead of women's. Secondly, we have seen Reclaim the Night was a successful move, but rape and murder increased everywhere. So, to find the first solution, we have to look at family, school, media, especially digital media. We have to restructure them. And for that, ordinary people started movement without any political party.
Millions of Indian women have joined the urban workforce in the past decade, securing their financial independence and helping to fuel the country's rapid growth. But they are still often left to bear the burden of their own safety. Despite the advancements in technology, such as safety apps and increased police presence, but the underlying issue remains the same. The mindset of individuals has not improved. The key to real change lies in educating people, as said by an English language teacher, Nelly Bosch.
Yes, I must say that there has been a lot of changes, development and progress for the women in Indian society. It's very true that we are enjoying the opportunity in the fields of education, employment and almost everywhere by law. But don't we need safety, security and respect? We are continuously being harassed and abused in different ways. And above all, there is a new culture. That is rape culture. No one is physically safe, whether it is day or night. There is no safety for the girls in the school or college, at lonely place, even at a working place. And there is nothing to say if it is night. Why? Can you tell me why we are afraid of solo traveling or going out at night? Increasing day by day. As far as I remember, we hardly heard the word rape. But now it is a very common word to everyone, even to a child. I don't know whether you will agree with me or not, but I think lack of healthy upbringing is the main reason behind it. So, to get rid of this new culture, the parents should take most responsibility in this regard. Their teaching, moral teaching, cultural teaching and guidance should be started at the very beginning of the boy's life. This is the only way to get rid of these horrifying activities. This is my opinion.
As per India government survey, 42% of girls in the country have been sexually abused. Women's groups and activists say incidents have become more rampant, more aggressive and more brutalized. Women activist Anuradha Kapoor, who is working mainly violence against women for more than 40 years, said many cases are believed to go unreported because of the stigma that is attached to rape and sexual assault.
I feel that violence against women has been traditionally condoned, it's been accepted, and it's been normalized by our society. Women have been told to keep quiet about it, not to talk about it. They're held responsible for it, and they're shamed for it. So the guilt and the shame, all of that belongs to women. This is how our patriarchal society operates. So when I began 29 years ago, at that time, I mean, violence against women was something that was not talked about. There was a deafening silence around violence, right? But I think that, you know, decades of really hard work by the women's movements in the country has resulted in women now being able to speak out. They're speaking up. Cases are being registered. Earlier, you know, media wouldn't report it, but media covers these. There's more public awareness about it. So you get to hear a lot more about these cases, right? I think that this business of acceptance and normalization has always been there. The difference now is that women are, of course, speaking out. Because of the work of the women's movement, and also as a result of that, there have been laws that have come in, like around sexual violence, about domestic violence, child sexual abuse. All kinds of laws have also come out as a result of these movements. So women have a space to speak out. That's why we're hearing about this. I would say the increase in reporting, this is why we're hearing a lot more about these cases. And some of it, I think there is also a culture of violence around the world and in our country today. If you look at it, even our political dispensations are talking about violence against women or rape or sexual abuse. I mean, everywhere, violence seems to be the norm. I remember there was this a particular case that happened, I think, in Badaun in UP. And when that case was going on, it was a case of a rape of a Dalit girl. And one of the ministers at that time actually said, rape is a trivial matter. You know, the media should not be blowing it out of proportion. Now, when people in power say things like this, or when you know, the people who were responsible for the rapes during the Gujarat riots came out, right? They were garlanded and they were told that they're representatives of our culture. What is the message that we are giving out to people? We're giving out a message that it's okay, you know? And that culture of impunity is created. And at the same time, there's another reason why there is people think that nothing is going to happen to them is because conviction rates for cases of rape and sexual abuse are very low. Cases of rape, I think, is about 27-28%. And that's it. People think, now I will get away with it. People are not getting convicted. They're getting away with murder. I can get away with murder. And our experience is that the higher the punishment, the lower the conviction. Because you have to have a lot more proof. You have to be 100% sure. And no judge is going to write a death sentence or a life imprisonment till you die, unless he's 100% sure of the evidence. And the problem, the systemic issues that I was referring to, are that, first of all, whenever there's a case like this, the police investigation is pretty shabby, right? So, you know, it's like, when do you reach there? How do you do the investigation? And then what are the political pressures on you, whether or not you should do the investigation? All of these are part of what happens. And when you give a charge sheet that does not have sufficient evidence, a judge is not going to be able to convict. It starts from there, that the police itself is not being able to investigating properly for a variety of reasons. They might be political, they may be corruption, they may be just lack of knowledge, because, you know, the person who directs traffic is also the person who is doing investigation. They don't have special skills. There is no separation. So it starts there. Then when you go to court, what is happening? The court system delays these trials for a long time. So there is no sensitization. How do you look at this issue? You know, if you're, you know, there was this case, the Park Street rape case, where the woman was told, why were you out at night? Now, the question is not why were you out? The question is why can't she be out? Even the way the judges think also is very patriarchal, because they come from the same society as we are in. So we need sensitization of the judiciary as well. In practice, there's a lot of things in on paper, but in practice it doesn't work. And if it doesn't work in practice, then women are not going to get justice.
The reoccurring number of rapes in India have experts worried that people are becoming desensitized to the crimes. The women activist Anuradha Kapoor said that society need changes in two levels. She added,
I think that what we need to do is work with the system. As I was saying, if we want to make change, then there are changes at two levels. One is at the societal level and one is at the state level. All right. At the state level, I've already talked about the fact that you need to make sure that the laws that you have passed are actually implemented. And in order for that implementation to happen successfully, then you have to put in money, you have to put in resources, you have to train your police, you have to remove political pressure, you have to train and sensitize your judges, you have to provide protection and services for the victim and for the witness. You have to work that the system changes so that it delivers for women, so that there is actual conviction and justice at the end of it. So that's, if you don't do that, then any law that you pass is just a law on paper, right? And on the other hand, what you need to do is also make, as a state, is to change thinking. Right now, you're on the one hand, you're saying women are equal, you're giving equal rights in the constitution, you're providing all of this legal framework, the laws to protect, but society is still the same, right? So now you need to change, if you need to change attitudes, then you need to change them in various ways.
On Wings, anti-rape activists are telling Wings reporter Kalpana Pradhan what they believe is needed to change India's rape culture.
You start with the schooling. What are you teaching children in schools? What are your textbooks saying about men and women? You know, you have to bring equality into the textbook, into this educational curriculum. You have to promote equality from there, from the start. And you have to also run, you know, awareness campaigns by the government, just like they used to do the polio campaigns. They need to do awareness campaigns and sensitization campaigns, and until mindsets don't change, this continues. It is like a non-negotiable. You have to carry on saying that this, you know, how do you want men to behave? Because the problem is, starting from our homes, how are we bringing our boys up? I mean, I find it hard to believe that these men or these boys, I mean, there are boys who are as little as 12 who are raping women, raping girls who are 6 years old. So what are we teaching these boys? As a society, how are we bringing up these boys? We are bringing them up to believe that this is okay, that you can do what you like with women and that you will get away with it. So how do we as a society also change that? We have to teach boys. You know, they're losing their humanity. I feel men are losing their humanity. They're not born like this, right? But they're taught to be like this. And we need to change that teaching. And not all boys are like this. Not all men are like this. It is those, because we are teaching them that you are better, you have the power, you can control women. And if you think women are going out of line, you can do what you like with them. This is the learning that we are giving them by differentiating, by discrimination. And when we say to them, and we say to girls, you stay at home because, you know, something can happen to you, instead of saying, let the boys stay home so that the women are free, or telling the boys, you make sure that women are safe, you ensure safety of women by changing how men think about it. Like, you need to have more women out there in the streets, on the roads. You need women out in the workplace. So the more people will see that, the safer they're going to be. And instead, what we do is we bring in laws that say women should stay at home, protect them, give them only, you know, day shifts, not night shifts. This is very counterproductive, because you're not actually creating an equal space. You're doing a protection, but you're not addressing the cause, which is the male who is doing this, right? So we need to actually look at how we change these perceptions. And you need to do it in multiple levels. It's not just at one. It's in schools, it's in colleges, it's through educational institutions.
At home also.
And at home. At home, how are you bringing up your children? Are you bringing up your daughter and son equally? Are you teaching them the same values? Are you teaching them that you have to respect each other? Because if you respect people at home, it's only then that you can respect people outside. It's like if you respect women in your home, then you can respect women outside. But if you're seeing from the very beginning and from your childhood that your father is abusing your mother, or your father is powerful and does whatever he likes and he doesn't have any respect for your mother, you are going to learn that. And you're going to repeat it in your life, right? And for women, they're also in a situation, a powerless situation. Most women are in situations where they are told that if you have to be a good mother, this is how you bring up a boy, this is how you bring up a girl. And if you bring up the boy or girl differently, then you're a bad mother. So they are under pressure and they don't have the power to change it. So that also, I mean, patriarchy uses women also to perpetrate this kind of thinking, right? So we need to change that thinking, and that starts from home. It starts at through the schooling system. It's and the government, the state has a huge responsibility to create this awareness and to change the books where you're talking about equality in this way. You know, there are textbooks that will say a man can do this much work in 6 hours, a woman will take twice the amount. What are you teaching the children then? You're teaching the children that women take more time to do a piece of work. So you're actually, even through the, you know, your books will say mother's sitting at home and cooking and the father's going out to work. What are you teaching the children? That these are the roles that people will play. And you're not building the aspirations of women, and you're not teaching equality through that. You're teaching division. So I think this is really, I mean, the root cause is patriarchal thinking. And if we want to, I mean, address this issue, we need to address the system also. And if systemic change doesn't happen, we are not going to see any difference with increased punishments in law.
Social activists are saying male hold a disproportionate amount of power in families and communities. And this power structure is both expected and accepted by the majority of females, which is sending a wrong message to the society, as said the social scientist Bula Bhadro.
Is India going through a rape epidemic in 21st century? In fact, from the daylight rape of a woman on a hurried street in Ujjain to the vicious rape and murder of a trainee doctor at Kolkata's Medical College, India's escalating crisis of violence against women, especially rape, is not just a series of grim statistics. They are narrative of a profound national tragedy. According to the 2021 annual report of the National Crime Records Bureau, 31,677 rape cases were registered across the country, which comes to about an average of 86 rape cases daily. This is a number which actually appalling. But it's just the beginning. The appalling figures are just the beginning. There are innumerable attacks that go unreported due to systemic flaws, fear of reprisals, social pressure, telling women that you may be at fault, that's why the rape happened, dress code, at the time you are walking unnecessarily or you are doing things unnecessarily. So you deserve this kind of punishment. But the interesting part is, women seem to suffer this kind of punishment, so to speak, always. If you see historically, you see that war, conflict, partition, any other catastrophe, it is absolutely the most heinous crime which can happen. Now look at this, the narrative of the recent rapes and murders. One characteristic must be mentioned here, that India has developed a terrible tendency, not just of rape, but murdering the rape victim. Probably doesn't want to keep clues, or somebody who will be telling, after all, if the person is alive. Whatever the reason, brutal murders and brutal rapes are happening together. So that the victim is suffering unbelievably. Whatever we say about women's movement, equality, seems like a hoax or a joke. I'm unable to understand that what does the law and judicial network do? They are part of the liberal legalism reform, but that's all there is. There are laws and there are laws. Every time you had a severe rape, we had a commission and recommendations. Just like in 2012, when Nirbhaya was raped in a public bus, she was with her boyfriend. By six people, she was brutally raped. After that, we had a commission, Justice Varma Commission. He made excellent recommendations, though the central government next year did not actually incorporate them. But he made his recommendation. But even that, after that, if you see the rape statistics, you will be astonished that, it keeps happening. And the more we become so-called civilized, digitalized, we are doing more rapes and murders. I have no faith, so to speak, or no expectation from the law and judiciary. That sounds bad, but I have to say it, that for me, rape reform, especially legal reform, doesn't deliver gender justice at all. Without any basic change in our patriarchal structures or our mental arrangements or mentality, other things are important in order to stop rape. We should look at our families, how boys and girls are treated differentially. Boys are told that they have to be rugged and be manly. And girls are told that she's soft, she has to accept things, moderate things, etc. Lokhi me, it means you're very sort of subdued, modest, paragon of beauty and this kind of, behavior, very polite. Even in schools, these are also reinforced. We don't still have much counseling cells in many schools. Even if your family says, you are equal to anybody, so there are no femininity, no masculinity. We never actually heard the concept of masculinity or femininity. So family is the first culprit. Then comes the school, the education system is a huge culprit for making girls women and making men. And then you have your digital media specifically and also, other sources which are mixed. Law forgot that law is not just legislation. It has to be enacted, and the enactment of law is very poor in India, extremely poor in case of rape victims. In case of this particular rape in one of the medical colleges, we have seen one thing though, that the larger society in West Bengal, in Kolkata, came out in huge support of this girl, this woman doctor, without any political control. Everything gets politicized here, but not this one. In fact, when they were doing some kind of protest, when a lot of political leaders tried to come to them, they said go back, which is very, very important, because the civil society movement are the most important one, that once we understand how we make children an individual, not a boy or a girl, we will be actually better off. Other than that, nothing seems to work. Formal education, formal legal system, judiciary, nothing is working at the moment. I'm sorry to say this. With a sad heart, I'm saying this.
Tougher laws against rape were introduced in India in 2013. After 23-year-old trainee physiotherapist was gang raped on a bus in New Delhi and later died of her injuries. But annual data from India's National Crime Record Bureau on crimes against women shows a steady annual increase in the number of rapes being committed in the country. Activists say the rising graph of rape cases is a matter of serious concern. As per experts, patriarchal structure in the society is the main cause to control the violence against women. The NGO Shyam has started to work with the men and boys in Kolkata to change attitudes towards women. Anuradha Kapoor is the founder of the NGO and she said how her organization has working on it.
We've been working, Swayam has been working with men and boys over the last 10 years, and we've also seen how, because of the way they're brought up, they don't even understand what they're doing and they don't understand the consequences of what they're doing. And once you bring that to their notice, things change. So it's possible to change. I think that I have faith in the fact that there can be change, that men and boys do change. And we have groups of men and boys where some of them, when they came into our group, had admitted to, you know, sexually harassing girls, as you know, or being abusive with their partners, and they no longer are, because they have now understood why it should not be like that. So I think it's really important for us to focus on men and boys, because every time we've been to, you know, we go and do awareness with girls, they'll say, but what's the point? Because the boys have to change, right? So we really need to emphasize that it's important to work with men and boys and help them to understand, you know, how this kind of macho masculinity is impacting them negatively, and that it is in their interest to change. It's not for women that they should change, but for themselves, so that they have better family lives, better social lives, better community lives, and happier lives and more humane lives. You know, there's no one solution to this. One is, of course, from home. You know, the teaching needs to change at home.
It means mother also be involved.
Not just the mother, but the father. Because, you know, the mother can try and do things, but if the father undoes it by his behavior or by his dictate, then nothing's going to happen. So I think it needs both parents. I have seen that change happen. I believe it can. So we should try and do, because the more and more men and boys who come into this movement are helping themselves regain their humanity, I think, the easier it's going to be to create the change, because they are the biggest space that we need to really address. I think that's really, really important.
Critics say the world's largest democracy gets a bad name because of the way the victims and survivors are treated. And harsh punishment alone cannot make women safer. Experts are saying that dedicated policy to sensitized men and boys could be possible to dismantling harmful masculine behaviors and requires a cultural shift towards greater respect for women and gender equality. Kalpana Pradhan, Wings, Kolkata, India.
The interviewees in this program were Sampurna Bhadra, student researcher, Nellie Bose, English language teacher, Anuradha Kapoor, longtime activist against violence against women and founder of the non-governmental organization Swayam, and Dr. Bula Bhadra, sociology professor at the University of Calcutta. To hear Wings programs again, visit the website wings.org. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose events are found on the website maternalgifteconomymovement.org. That's all one word, maternalgifteconomymovement.org. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frieda Werden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.